Father, we just thank you that you have sent your fire and you're sending your fire upon your church. That your hand, Lord, is coming upon the church today because you want your church to rise up, Lord, and your hand will lift us up and set us in a new place, Lord, where we'll stand in you, where our head will be, as it were, in heaven, where we'll be reigning with you and our feet will be on the ground so that we can actually do the work. And we pray, Lord, you raise up your church in this hour to stand up and be a mighty army all over this nation and across the world, across the face of this earth. And we praise you for the privilege of living in these wonderful days, Lord, of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your love today. We praise you, Lord, and speak to our hearts, Lord, today. We might draw near to you and put into practice what we hear, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage Carol this morning that she is called to preach the gospel and cast out demons and to bake bread. I just believe, you know, that today God is wanting us to be both very, very spiritual but very, very practical. And this morning I want us just to go back, or just before we do that, let me just say this, that I want to apologise for something that I read out last week. I read a sheet of headline headings, and I just repented of that because some of the stuff was a bit risky. I hadn't really read it properly. I'd read one or two which were actually quite clean and fun, but I just apologise for that. And I've asked the Lord for forgiveness for that, so I'm sorry for what I read. Some of you might hopefully just went over your head, like it went over some went over my head. But the Lord just said, you need to be careful and you need to have diligence in everything that you do, talking to me, so I apologise about that. Now listen, it was my birthday this week, and for some of you, thank you. And Claire and I went into this shop in Hand Cross, and I saw this card. It says The Life Show, and it's for the over 50s, which happens to apply to me now. So and I started reading this, and I was shocked, really. It says there are over 30 voluntary and statutory organisations covering health and well-being, safety, working, learning and volunteering opportunities will be on hand to answer all your questions. It's all about enjoying later life. And then it says, this is what was on. Attractions include. This is, so if you're over 50 like me, these are the wonderful attractions we've got to look forward to. Flower arranging. Okay? With Bob Tunks. Jive demonstration. Yeah. That sounds a bit more fun. Computer and mobile phone surgery. Mine needs that all the time. Magician. Then it says, try a smoothie. Well, I like smoothies. They're great. Exercise sessions and postural stability assessments. If you're feeling a little bit dodgy. Live music and dance. Well, I definitely need a little bit more of that, I suppose. Blood pressure checks. A free prize draw. Makeovers. To make you look younger, of course. Working and volunteering opportunities. Free tea and biscuits, which we're very good at this church. Freebies and discount vouchers, digital switchover information. So there you go. So if you're over 50 like me, I want to encourage you, you know, come and grab a card afterwards and you can do flower arranging, also, you know, jive demonstrations, learn how to jive. Jerry and Rose will help you in that, and you can even try a smoothie. So there you go. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. We spoke last week, the title for last week was For Our God is a Consuming Fire. And we noted last week that the fire of God does two things. The fire of God, the Holy Spirit and His fire, His glory and His presence, will burn things out of us that get in the way of God, and will burn things into us that are of God. Okay? Those of you that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit will know that you experienced a wonderful experience of God, didn't you? When the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire part, if you like, of the Holy Spirit is very, very important. And there's a lot of the church today are living in with the Holy Spirit's blessing. They're living in things that the Holy Spirit's done, but they haven't yet really got hold of the fire. And it's the fire of God that actually burns and refines us and purifies us and gets rid of the sin and gets rid of the compromise and puts a new sharpness in our spirit. And it's the fire of God that actually, if you like, releases into us the zeal of God, the zeal for his kingdom. And we're living in a day where we're hopefully we're all living for the cause of his kingdom. And God's wanting to raise up also a generation of children and young people who are living for the cause. I remember when I was about 17, when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I could have taken the whole world. I really could. I said to the Lord, I'll go anywhere and do anything for you. And you can have all my money, I don't care, I'm yours, Lord. And that sense of abandonment to God at that first touch of the Spirit. Yeah. And but sometimes, you know, some of that can be eroded in our lives as we get a little bit older, especially when you get to 50, you've got to really watch it then. And we've got to keep the fire burning. In fact, we need the fire even more as we get older to keep on track with God, because what God is interested in isn't so much our age, he's interested in our spirit, he's interested in what we're carrying. We have a youthful spirit because we're full of the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Amen? And God wants us to know that the fire is there, and the fire will purify us. The fire will get rid of stuff if we'll let the fire of God work in us. And the fire of the Holy Spirit will actually put things into us, the zeal for the Lord, to do his will. It'll empower us to do his work. And so I wonder how many of you are on fire this morning. I mean, really on fire for God. I wonder how many of you are really burning with something in here for the kingdom. And that every day that you wake up, there's something burning on the inside of you. Because that's the kind of people that God wants. And we don't have to try and make it happen. What we need to do is let the fire of God do its work. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. Let him fill us and flood us and overflow us and spend time praying in the Spirit. And let the fire of God begin to burn in you. Let him have his way. And the fire will burn. Amen. Hebrews 12, and it says in verse 18, you've not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. This is in the Old Testament when Moses and the children of Israel actually were around Mount Sinai, and literally, it was literal fire came down upon that mountain, and it was a very scary sight. And it says, and the writer of the Hebrews is saying here, we haven't come to that mountain that burned with fire, to blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. In other words, they heard the voice of God, and remember, this is Old Testament times, and they were scared. They were afraid because they were afraid they'd lose their lives. That's how scary it was. They could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast or animal touches the mountain, it should be stoned or shot with an arrow, because the mountain where the presence of the fire and the presence of God was exceedingly holy. And so everyone was, I mean, the fear of God was really in that place. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. That's what the fire does. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. This is talking to us now in the new covenant, in the New Testament. We're the church, we're God's people, we're his children. And because of Jesus, we can now come to another mountain. It's not Mount Sinai, which was kill you, but it's Mount Zion, which will give you life, where the presence of God is. You've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Do you know, every time you get up in the morning, every time that you, any time during the day, that you meet with God in prayer, this is what you're coming to. If you want to know what you're coming to, and you think, well, I find it really hard to, you know, it just seems I'm not getting through, I'm not breaking through. Look, just read Hebrews 12. It'll help you to see this is what you're coming to when you pray. And it just does a little description here of exactly in the Spirit what's happening when we pray, when we come to God. You've come to Mount Zion, you've come to the city of the living God, you've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, you've come to an innumerable company of angels, you've come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Well, all the saints that have gone before us, you've come to them, you've come to them as well in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, and you've come to the spirits of just men or righteous men made perfect. And you've come to Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant that we're in, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. This is what you've come to. So every time you pray, this is what you're coming to. It's such a positive kingdom. It's such a faith-filled kingdom that every time you come there and you see, this is, I'm coming to Jesus, who's the mediator, the one who's come between God in heaven and me on earth. He's the mediator. He's bridged the gap. And because of his blood, I can come right before God. I can come to Mount Zion and meet with God. And I've come with a great company of others. There's angels and there's saints who've gone before us. We've come into this great assembly. That's what happens when you begin to worship and pray. Did you know that? And probably what happens in a lot of our times, our meetings and our own times, is we hardly get off the floor. Because we don't have faith, we don't actually see what we're actually coming to. That we're actually in the presence of God. We're actually in the heavenly places. And with us, believe me, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels. Myriads of angels. And when we it says that we appear before him. Now, we don't always see that, but that's the reality. When we pray, this is the reality. So come into your rightful place. Come into your position before God. Don't keep down on the earth. Get up into the heavenly place where he is when you pray. Are you with me? Begin to see. This is a description of what really is taking place. And see that you do not refuse him. This is verse 25 who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. The whole point of coming before God to worship him and to yield to him and let his fire come is that he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to us every day. There's fresh manna from heaven. There's fresh words that he wants to speak to us out of God's word. He doesn't want us to just to enjoy a sensation of him, of his presence. He wants us to enjoy his presence, but he also wants us to receive his word. We must receive a word every time we meet with God. We must let God speak to us. It says, don't refuse him who speaks. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's kingdom is unshakable. Amen. When you meet with God in prayer, you're meeting unshakable things. Amen. When you meet with God in prayer, these are unshakable things. Angels, God, Jesus, his blood, saints who have gone before. These are unshakable. They will live forever. They're part of his eternal kingdom. And it says here that we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Verse 28. Let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. Amen. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Now the Lord is trying to get through to us on this because we need to come to God and we need to let his fire burn inside of us. The fire of God, when it purifies and cleanses of sin and compromise and things that we shouldn't have, let him do that. But let the fire of God do its real work, which is to actually to fill you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the fire is there to do the will of God. The fire or the power of his Spirit that comes upon you will enable you to do what you cannot do naturally. Who wants to do things naturally when you can do them supernaturally with the presence and the fire of God? And that's what God has given to us. He's given us his fire. Now, I'm fascinated by this because, just remember, when the Bible was written, when the New Testament was written, it wasn't written in chapters. It was written as a letter. And I just read this. I've never seen it before, but I read this morning, so you're going to get something really fresh from heaven this morning. I got this from God this morning as I read it. It's right before our eyes. Probably you've all seen it before except me. But here it is. It says, for our God is a consuming fire, let brotherly love continue. Because of the jolly chapters that we have, we often segregate things and we actually cut off the next sentence. But I read it this morning, I read it totally different. I read, our God is a consuming fire, let brotherly love continue. Amen. Wow, that makes a big difference to that verse because it's not just let brotherly love continue, it's
For our God is a consuming fire, therefore let brotherly love continue. See? God wants his fire to be in the church. And we're talking about the fire of his love. Because I know the number one thing that I experienced and that changed my life was when he filled me with the Holy Spirit and the fire came, it was the love. If I was to describe it, what I actually experienced was the love of God that set me free. The love of God that accepted me for who I was, not for who I was trying to be or anything like that, but accepted me for who I was. And that tangible, fiery love that God had for me did it all. Said it all and did it all in one push. And that fire of his love is towards us today that he wants us to experience, because the fire of his love needs to pour out through our lives for one another. I mean, if I ask you this question, how many of you got that fiery love for other people in the church? How many of you have you got that fiery love, his love, for people that don't know him? Do you see what I'm saying? So the more we meet with him in his fire, the more that fire of his love will come and will be amongst us as a people. The more the fire of that love will go out there into the streets or to our neighbours or people that we're reaching, people that we work with, people in school and so on. The fire of his love is what the world needs. And we need to let the fire, this is why we need the fire of God. Even as I'm talking this morning, I'm thinking, goodness me, that God wants to give us so much more of his fire to transform us, to change us into his likeness. Amen. 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 We need his fire. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and the fire just fell somewhere. Verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Right? There's more to come. That's what it's saying. There's a lot more to come. We who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now I just want you to be honest this morning. How many of you have been, over the last 6 months, how many of you have been through various trials? Just put up your hand this morning. Don't worry if you haven't. You may be the odd one out, but we'll rejoice with you that you have not been through various trials. Okay, now that is actually nearly all of us in this room this morning are saying this morning that we have been, perhaps are still going through, various trials. So this is the word of the Lord for us this morning, okay? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Let's read it again. In this you greatly rejoice. How many of you, and I include myself in this, how many of you are rejoicing, how many of you are greatly rejoicing through your various trials that you're facing at the moment?
Say that again, Pastor.
No. How many of you are greatly rejoicing through your various trials? You see, the word says to us this morning, and this is why we need the fire of God to work on us. Because when various trials come, most of us respond quite naturally and try and get a little bit spiritual about it as well. But what God is wanting to address with us, he's wanting to truly make us spiritual, means that if you're really going to be an overcomer, you greatly rejoice even though you're going through various trials. Wow. You say that can't be done, actually. Paul, that's a little bit too, that's a little bit too high. Well, it can't be done if you try and whip it up and do it yourself. But I tell you that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit of God is living in us this morning, and he wants to release his fire within us, his power within us, his liberty within us, so that we can greatly rejoice in and through our various trials. I thought you'd agree with that. And it says, for a little while. It's for a little while. Just say a little while. It's a little while. It's not forever. It's a little while that you're going through a various trial. Okay? But we need to greatly rejoice. And I'm just going to ask the thing just to be stopped just for a minute, because there's no point in recalling this. Now, we used to have, when we used to meet as a fellowship, as a church in Crawley Down many years ago, there was this man that used to peep through the keyhole to see what we got up to in our services. And, you know, some people look in on what we do, they'd think we're absolutely crazy. Well, we are crazy for God, because we love him. So I want to encourage you, make this part of your time with God. Jump up and down, leap up and down, rejoice greatly over every trial that you face, and you'll have victory. Victory will begin to break forth before you. So let's just read verse 6 if you're still there. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Now listen, this is verse 7. So that the genuineness of your faith, the genuineness of your faith, let's put it another way, the reality of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. You see that? May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's being tested? What's being tested?
Faith.
And that faith has been tested by fire. Okay? So the fire that God is allowing through circumstances will test your faith in him. So in every way, as believers, we'll win. Okay, that's the whole point. The whole point isn't for us to be miserable and downcast and depressed. You can choose not to live like that. You can choose to actually believe in him and let the Spirit begin to lift you up so that you begin to overcome, and it's your faith that has been tested by fire. Now, faith is from God. This is the supernatural part. God has given to us faith. And so in every situation, circumstance, we find ourselves, when the fire comes to test our faith, you'll find that if you stay in faith, faith will enable you to overcome. And sometimes God allows us to be our faith to be tested. He will. Throughout our lives, our faith will be tested, because it's faith that overcomes the world. Amen? It's faith that delivers us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God is very interested in your faith and my faith, that we're actually operating in real faith, not think we're operating in faith, but actually living by faith in God. It's relationship, isn't it? And so there's a testing of our faith. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Do you have a real love for Jesus?
Yes.
Throughout your days?
Yes.
When you go to bed at night?
Yes, I do.
When you wake up in the morning? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful that we haven't seen him, but we love him? Because the reality is his Spirit is inside of us. He's living in us. He is in us. And whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, there's it. That's the key, believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. This is a picture. This is if you like, a photo shoot of a liberated Christian. This right here. This is, if you like, our feet on the ground. This is us going through stuff in life. This is us facing various trials. But the difference between you and Bert down the road, or the bloke who lives upstairs, or the couple who live over the road, is that you have a great advantage, is that you have Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit and you have all of heaven available to you.
Amen.
And the question is, are we living in the good of what God has provided for us? Are we actually living out of what God has given to us? Because he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the love. He's given us the fire of the Spirit in our hearts so that we can overcome. Praise God. Faith and fire. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you don't have to turn there, but I just want to share a few things here, because we're talking about the fire, but we're talking about the fire of God and his love. And in Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." We know that off by heart. We know it so well that we can say it backwards and forwards and inside out. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." So the power and the fire of God is actually to enable us to be changed, so that we can actually do something with the fire and take the wonderful gospel and good news of Jesus Christ out into a lost world. That was the whole point of it. So that we'd be changed, and in our being changed, we'll carry the fire out to people that don't know him, in our workplaces and wherever God sent us. And it's the fire that we need when we're witnessing to the lost. It's his fire, isn't it? We need the fire of God. We need something hot. We need something full of zeal. We need something that will release heat, passion, and miracles, and demonstrations of who he really is inside of us, and to demonstrate that he is who he says he is. This is why we need the fire. In Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost. And verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord." They were all in agreement. They were all united together in one accord, in one place. They were absolutely in harmony. No wonder God blessed them. And suddenly it says there came a sound. So God had to get them into a place of accord so he could then pour down the fire. And there's a real key here. And it says, "Suddenly for the church. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire." So these fiery tongues, this fire from heaven of the Holy Spirit came and literally touched and rest upon each head, each person, and they began to experience the fire of the Spirit burning in them that day. And we know the rest of the story. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other languages they'd never learnt. They began to preach the gospel to people who spoke those native languages. And that day there were 3,000 people got saved because of the fire of God. Amen. No wonder we need the fire. No wonder we need the fire of God. And how cold we've got, really. Out, you know, we've got the coals, but they're not on fire. They're glowing, but they're not on fire. When you light a fire, you can't beat a lovely coal fire, but it's terrible if the thing goes out, isn't it? Or if it's just dull and never really breaks through. It's miserable if you've got a fire like that. But it's great if you light a fire and it begins to catch and the whole thing is really... it's a whole unit, and all you can see is this brightness because the whole thing is set ablaze. Now that's a picture of what God wants us to be as a church. Amen. Amen. We're still coals at the moment, and there's some glow there, and some are beginning to burst into fire, but God wants the whole thing to be absolutely alight and fully aflame and fully on fire, so that we as the church will do the work of revealing the glory of the heat, the warmth, the power, the love of God to a lost world. And God wants to work that, not just in one or two people, but into all of us as a whole church. Acts 2, verse 38. You'll know this scripture, but I just want to remind us, because we need to be regularly reminded of this. This is the whole reason why we're here. "Peter said to the crowd, 'Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Peter was full of fire. When he preached on the day of Pentecost, he was absolutely full of fire. And so what he was releasing was the fire of the Holy Spirit in his words and in his demonstration, what he actually did. "And the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' And then those who gladly received his word were baptized." We're going to have a baptism service, I think it's October the 19th. "Were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, sharing of life together, in the breaking of bread," that means sharing meals, "and having communion, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing every day with one mind, in one accord, in agreement and in harmony together, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Are you getting the picture? How many of you have read this a lot? How many of you read this scripture a lot? We need to keep reading it and saying, Lord, don't let this just be words on the page, but make this reality in our life as a church. Make this a reality. Cause us to live in the good of this. And it says that as they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, in other words, sharing meals together, breaking bread and having communion together around a mealtime, sharing their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And it says, and because of all of this, because of the fire of God that was working that in the early church, the Lord added to the church daily, every day people were being saved. So it means that we're not living normally at the moment. Just have to accept that we're actually not living normally in God's normal. Because God's normal is that there should be people being saved every day, that there should be the sharing of our lives every day in some way or another. There should be all these things that we just read, that we're living in the fire of God. This is what the fire of God will do. And as I read this, and the Holy Spirit was talking to me about this, and he was talking to me about love, the fire of his love. And when I looked there, I thought, well, I didn't see the word love there in any of those scriptures that we just read. But, you know, the Lord said, you know, that love was the outcome of all of this. That in all of these things, love, if you like, love, the fire of his love, actually produced all of those things. Yet you never read about the word love. And they weren't going around saying, I love you. And there's nothing wrong in telling people that you love them and affirm them. But they weren't actually, doesn't actually say that they were doing it. It says that they were actually actively doing it. They were actually releasing the love of God. And the early church, when you read it and you see it from God's perspective, you see that the fire of the Holy Spirit fell on the early church. It transformed them, that they shared and they loved God so much, and they got delivered themselves from their problems, and they were full of zeal for the Lord, and they began to love one another with his fire, fiery love. I call it fiery love, right? Not soft love, not weak love, sometimes tough love. It's the fiery love of God. And this was in the early church. This is what made the early church tick. And this is what made the early church grow. And if you go to Acts 4, please, and verse 29. Do you remember there was the prayer? Because there was a bit of persecution cropped up on some of those fire carriers like Peter and John. And in verse 29, the church prays, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." That's a sign of fire, by the way, boldness. "By stretching out your hand to heal," that's the sign of God's fire, healing. "And that signs and wonders," that's another sign of God's fire, "may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. That's another sign of God's fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What did they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Now let me ask you a question. When all this was happening in the early church, do you think they were actually experiencing his love? Yes, they were. Do you think that if you walked into the early church and went to one of their little house things that they were having, or went to a big gathering that they had together, what's the first thing that you would have experienced? I reckon you would have experienced, the first thing you would have experienced is the love of God. The fire and the love of God, the fiery love of God. And verse 31 says that they were filled with the Spirit and with boldness. And then verse 32 says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." What's this talking about? This is talking about the fire of his love visiting the church. That the early church was so full of the fire of his love that they were being transformed, and they had a tremendous love for God, but they had a love for one another. And again, if you read through here, you say, well, it doesn't actually use the word love. No, but this is the result of love. This is the result of God's fire and his love. This church was being transformed. I mean, if you've got a group of people, Christians, who have one heart and one soul and one mind, guess who's done that? God. He's done it with his fire because I don't think there's any another way he can do it. He's done it with the fire of his love, where he's actually made us one together, where we love and serve one another. We put the other person first. We're thinking of the other person before I think of me, right? We're putting the church before our own things, and we're putting the Lord before our own things. And this was the fire of God's love that was working in the early church, and this is the fire of God's love that's coming over us as a church, and that's working in us today, and will continue to work in this season as we let him, as we allow him to move upon us. Hallelujah. See, people wanted to give. People wanted to give the extra things they had, extra houses or homes and things, and they sold them and bought the proceeds and laid them at the apostles' feet, because they knew, they trusted the apostles that they would make sure that that money went to the poor and went to areas where they could send that money to be used. What affects the way that we handle money? God's love. Because anything else will be legalism. And that's why we need the fire of his love to set us free, so that we're not legalistic Christians, but in Kingdom Faith Church here at Crawley that and East Grinstead, that we are full of the fire of his love.
Amen.
Amen. Just turn with me to 1 John 4, please. What we just read about this morning is all about his love, actually. It's about his love, the fire of his love. And in 1 John 4 and verse 10, this is love, and that's what I've entitled this morning's message. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know, but that's what I entitled it. This is love. And verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is love. We just read about the love of God coming into the early church on the day of Pentecost and the effects that the love of God had, how it changed the church. And that's the fire of God at work. And here we have this incredible scripture says, this is love, not that we love God. Of course it's not, but this is love, that he loved us.
Amen.
That God loved us. How did he do it? Because Jesus Christ, when he was here, was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of fire. And he was able to sacrifice his whole life for you and for me so that we could be born again and saved. In fact, so that we could in turn not just be forgiven but receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and fire. So Jesus has demonstrated to us in his life, that's why we're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. We're in Matthew's Gospel at the moment and going through Matthew 22 this week. I think it starts in Matthew 22 today. But we're reading a chapter a day in Matthew's Gospel. The reason we're reading the Gospels is so that we'll get to know Jesus better. And let his love and his fire transform us so that we do the same things that he did. Amen.
Amen.
And so the fire, the love of God. This is the love of God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. How did he love us? By sacrificing himself for us. Okay? And he sacrificed, he gave his all for us because he had the fire on his life. And the only way you can really sacrifice properly as a believer is with the fire. With the fire of God. In other words, you give yourself to God, you say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You take up your cross every day and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. I want to do your will, Lord, today. I'll deny myself. It's not about me, it's about you. And it's about others. It's about your wife, your husband, your children. It's about your family. It's about the church. It's about other people. It's about reaching the lost. And when we start having that sacrificial view, when we start sacrificing our life to God, when we live, when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, guess what happens? What happens when in the Old Testament, when the sacrifice is laid on the altar? The fire comes down, thank you. The fire comes down. And when you offer your life to God every day as a living sacrifice, guess what's going to happen? The fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit, of his love, is going to burn in you. Amen. It's going to equip you. The love of God is going to equip you. The love of God is going to release you to do his work. The love of God will set you on fire. The love of God will set you ablaze. The love of God will come out through your life so that you can genuinely have compassion on those around you who desperately need answers. I mean, we're living in a world that where people are lost. They're confused. You know, most young people that I meet today, they're totally confused. They have no idea where they're going or what they're doing. So they're just making today work. They're just living for today. And they need a message that comes with fire. And when they hear a message that comes with fire and a demonstration of God's fire, God's love, they sit up and take notice. And we're living a time when the whole world needs to hear this. And we need to be a people of his fire and of his love. Let's just read this together. Just close your, I'm going to read this to you and we're going to close with this. And just verse 7 to 13 in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And remember, this love is this sacrificial love that God has, this agape love, this love that gives. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only unique Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment, the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, that we rest in him, that we trust in him, that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. Just keep your eyes closed and just begin to talk to the Holy Spirit this morning, and because he's here. Hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out and is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This fiery love of a Saviour who died on the cross for us, this love and fire that sacrificed himself, is living in you this morning. Amen. The Lord Jesus died for you so that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and fire. He died that you might have his love and his fiery love inside of you, burning brightly within you. So this love is a person, it's Jesus. This love is a person in action, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's in heaven now and he's given the Holy Spirit to activate inside of us. So this love is a person, it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you, in action. This love is expressed in your attitudes, in your words, and in the things you do, your deeds. We need the fire of his love. The fire will set us free. The fire of his love will deliver us. The fire of his love will bring us great victories. And it's the fire that God is pouring out upon the church, so that as his hand comes upon us, he's going to raise us up and fill us again with tremendous fire as a body, as a whole church. That we carry that fire wherever we go. I mean, let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just offer yourself up afresh, actually, to his love this morning. We've met with the Lord in the worship. We've met